Welcome everyone to the first ever episode of a new podcast here on the 91.1 WEDM Podcast Network. This is called Toon Talk. I'm your host, Christian Oates, joined by my man Colin Echols today. And this is a podcast where we talk about everything music, new music, music debates. And if you think it's music, it is something that we will talk about. And first off, Colin, I talked to you about the rundown of this. Are you excited for what's going on?
Excited doesn't even describe it, man. Like, we've had so many podcasts that we've done in class over the years that, you know, sports or just trending news in general, mm-hmm. or just some of them that are just like basically like a talk show type thing. But we've never really even had like just a strictly music podcast. And I love music. It's a part of my everyday life. So I'm really excited to finally record it and put it out on the platform.
I think that's great, especially coming from a whole radio station. It's been so long since we haven't really had an actual thing to talk about music. But to go ahead and get started with the first topic, it's a big news. If you don't know about it, you got to be surprised. Bobby Smurda, Big Bobby, released from prison.
Yes. This
yesterday, the day that we're recording this. Going back, Colin, how excited are you based off the news?
I'm hyped because I hated it when Bobby Smurda got locked up, because he got locked up right after he got big with his one song that we cannot name on the air. But well, all of his songs that we can't name
on
the air. But he got big, and then right when he got big, because of that one line in his song, caught a body about a week ago, he gets investigated, he gets charged, the charges stick, and he's locked up for, what, 6 years now? So, yeah. I mean, I'm happy that he's back out, but on the other side of that, I think that he's been locked away for so long that he's going to slowly become irrelevant in music.
Yeah, and I've been saying that for so long, back when, like, we didn't even know when he was going to get out, maybe a year or two ago, saying that whenever he comes out, I feel like he's going to make a first day out song, and I feel like it's going to be terrible. I mean, you got to think about it. It's been so long since he's actually been recording in a studio. It's been since 2014, and you can't really expect him to be coming out with hits, but obviously people are going to overhype it. But you can't really, I don't think it's going to be quality, especially been what we're used to.
I think he's going to put like the same Bobby Smurda quality on it, and I think he's going to have the same touch. But I think the problem is going to be, like, the hip-hop scene and the rap scene in general have changed so much from then to now. Like, if you look at now, mm-hmm. and you look at who's trending, it's like, you know, obviously Pop Smoke is like probably one of the most influential artists of like the past couple of years. Everything is starting to move. You've still got your mainstream rap like DaBaby, and now you've got like Pooh Shiesty and stuff.
I mean, DaBaby wasn't even a thing back when Bobby got arrested.
No, DaBaby was back in 2014. That was when DaBaby was kind of on, like when everyone was clowning him.
Mm-hmm.
Back when he was, you know, dressed up in like giant baby diapers and baby bonnets and stuff.
Okay.
When he was like, because he was one of those artists. He's like Lizzo in a way. Like Lizzo had that first run that she made, and she didn't blow up, and she quit, and then she came back and released the same songs again,
mm-hmm.
and then blew up because it was a different time.
Wow.
It was the same thing with DaBaby. Mm-hmm. So he released like all of his songs, and none of them blew up, so he pulled them and then re-released them when he became more mainstream, and that's kind of how he blew up. But I think for Bobby, like, I just don't think that his style is... He's so mid-2000s style that I just don't think he's going to be able to bounce back into the mainstream market.
Yeah, and especially like... the style of rap now, like, you think Playboi Carti's still one of the big ones, and how he doesn't really let the beat do what it does. He sort of has to vocalize and everything, and possibly not even saying words, but compared to what we've seen with Bobby Smurda, he had really good beats, and he had one of the greatest beats probably, I wouldn't say from our generation, but of the years that he was active as a rapper. But now you can't really ride the beat. You have to come with more. You have to actually have some good bars. You have to have more of an effort overall, I feel.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, if you look at the hip-hop scene specifically, the female side of it has blown up to, like, a different level. Like, back when Bobby Smurda was hot and everything like that, play on words, but back when Bobby Smurda was big, I think really the only female rappers that you had in the industry that were, you know, like mainstream was, you had Iggy Azalea,
yeah,
and you had Nicki Minaj. And Nicki Minaj, I wouldn't say she's not irrelevant now, but she's not as relevant because she's not pumping out music like she used to.
Yeah.
Iggy Azalea is pretty much irrelevant. But now you've got, like, Cardi B. You've got Megan Thee Stallion. And you've got Rico Nasty. And you've got all these different female artists that have blown up in the past couple of years. And I just think that now, like, their style, that's going to be, like, the next wave, right? You're definitely going to see more women come into the hip-hop scene and really start to blow up.
And I think that's honestly, Bobby could be a conduit. I don't think that's probably the right word, but he could be a chance to help bring in maybe some smaller female rappers. But from what we've seen, even just throughout the past few years, the City Girls, they created a whole movement, you know, scamming, just being a hot girl summer, all that. And even Meg Thee Stallion, I know you love her, Cardi B, they sort of brought on a movement, and it's changing the rap scene as a whole, because even we had Nicki Minaj, we haven't really seen lots of, for one, female artists coming together and collaborating, but really making a movement. Even back when Nicki Minaj was probably popping, she didn't really, she didn't really affect the whole hip-hop genre too much, rather than just coming from a collab. I know she had the more of the singing type ones, but she didn't affect, yeah. She didn't have as big of an effect on the rap game as a whole compared to Cardi B, Meg Thee Stallion, give everybody else, you know?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that I have to say about Bobby, probably one of the last comments that I'll make on what his career is going to look like, I think, in my personal opinion, he'd be better suited as like a collab, like a feature artist, like getting on features with big names like DaBaby, Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, and you know, a bunch of like Pooh Shiesty. I think he's going to get big when he moves as a feature artist. But the other thing I think too is, I think as a producer, he's kind of got that producer vibe to me, right? Like, he made a couple of bangers, yeah, but I think if you would keep him more as like a producer, almost like a Dr. Dre type thing,
yeah,
where he's still on songs with like his record label, but he's not pumping out songs day in and day out that are just him, right? Like, he's on, like, when Dr. Dre was rapping at first, it was, you know, it was N.W.A.,
yeah.
But Dr. Dre was just a name under that category. And I think that's how Bobby Shmurda is going to kind of be, is he needs to, if he would start his own label and start producing, I think he'd be better suited, you know, in that venture.
Mm-hmm. So to sort of add on to the conversation, I think it's important to talk about what life was like back when Bobby Shmurda got and put in jail at first. Some of the things I have written down are Barack Obama was halfway through his second term.
Mm-hmm.
Vine was the big thing. Now it's TikTok. Bobby Shmurda, that must be a big shot for him. Even being in jail when COVID hit, that probably sounds crazy.
Vine was TikTok before TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a 60-second video that was supposed to literally just make you laugh and keep you entertained. That's what Vine was, and that's literally what TikTok is. And I remember, you remember how much Bobby Shmurda used to blow up off Vine?
Yeah.
Like, people making memes of the Shmoney dance and everything like that. Like, if you take that and you move it onto a TikTok platform, I don't think the memes are going to be as good because, you know, the Shmoney dance isn't new or anything like that. But there's still plenty of stuff that can move with Bobby Shmurda on TikTok. And I think now that social media is a bigger thing overall, I think that's going to be a big key for him, is if he uses social media to his advantage and he uses it the right way, he's got so much more potential to just absolutely blow up.
And that's one of the things now, because TikTok, Vine, back when Vine was really popping, it wasn't one of the huge ways for people to really blow up and get marketed. Like, even there weren't the Charlies of the world, but now TikTok is honestly a really bigger way to blow up, not even your own music. You know, people, artists plant their songs on TikTok. They pay the art or pay the creators to maybe create a dance out of it or make it a sound, and then it blows up from there. But Vine wasn't really a way to do that.
No, Vine was literally, almost take it as like a Dave Chappelle type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was comedy, but it was all put into skits, right?
Yeah.
So if anyone's ever seen Chappelle's show, I know I watch Chappelle's show. It's back on Netflix, by the way. For anyone that don't know, it got taken down for like a couple months. It's back. But I don't know if you've seen the Chappelle show or not. But
not really.
Dave Chappelle thrived on using his comedy through sketches.
Mm-hmm.
So he would set stuff up. He'd do different sketches. And that was what made him funny. And that's kind of what Vine was Vine was supposed to be, okay, this is happening, and we're going to make it funny somehow, some way. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what Vine was. And I think now that Bobby Shmurda can use TikTok as, like, you know, push his music and make it popular. So many songs have blown up off TikTok this year.
Yeah.
In the past 2 years. That's going to be the biggest thing for him, I think.
Absolutely. And one of the other things that I had written down that happened in 2014 was the former Clippers owner Donald Sterling banned because of his comments. But also the Lob City Clippers were a big thing. So even just thinking about sports, so much has changed since 2014 also.
Yeah, 2014 in sports, for some reason, I don't remember it that much. I don't remember it being super memorable. But just in the terms of everything that's happened, like, you look at the NBA now.
Yeah.
The bubble. The NFL. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, Tom Brady now has 7 Super Bowl rings. Like, there's nothing is the same from 2014 now.
Yeah.
Everything has changed and developed and adapted and morphed in some way, shape, or form. And I think the biggest thing that you can take from 2014 to now, and I really through all time till now, is the only thing that's still relevant is music. Like, music will never change. Music will always be relevant. But now the type of music, that's going to change, obviously. Yeah. But music in general will always be relevant. And I think from 2014, that's probably, like, the only thing that you can say.
And even Bobby Shmurda's music, listening to that, back the ones he made in 2014, 2013, those still hit now. And it's so much nostalgia, such a big factor. And it plays so much into the world that we live in today.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too, is the music from back then in, like, the early 2000s and the 90s, it's all starting to blow back up. As you know, some of the new music's cool, but a lot of people will tell you that new music all kind of sounds the same.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are going back to that old style when people were switching up flows, and you'd have a rapper that could, you know, like Drake. Drake can still sing on one song and rap on another, and it both of them are good. So I think everyone's kind of shifting back into that old style, or the early 2000s style of rap, where nothing all sounds the same. It's all upbeat, and, you know, everyone's got their own different style of flow.
Mm-hmm. And to sort of switch the topic away from Bobby Shmurda, you know, good luck to him. I'm sure he's going to do great. He's already doing a lot.
Bobby's home! I'm happy.
So to skip around, Kimye are splitting. They're no longer a thing. Definitely something.
This is my favorite topic of all time. Like, okay, so the first thing I got to say, Kim and Kanye splitting is no shock to me at all. But the biggest news that I heard, and I actually heard this on TikTok, right? It was for another podcast. I can't remember the name of it. But there is a theory that part of the reason that they're getting divorced is because Drake supposedly had an affair with Kim.
Oh, I know you love that line.
Dude, okay, look, if you listen to Travis Scott's song off Astroworld, if you listen to Sicko Mode, and you look at a map, follow the directions that Drake says. He crept down a block, made a right, cut the lights, paid the price, right? If you look at the map of where his house is, if you go down his block and hang a right and drive for a little bit, you're literally at Kim and Kanye's house. And you cut the lights, so you're sneaking around, right? And you pay the price. Now they're getting divorced. Like, come on, man.
That is,
like, seriously,
big.
You can't tell me that's a coincidence. Please don't tell me that's a coincidence. That's too good.
And even the drama with, was it Jeffree Star earlier this year?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
What's going on with Kanye, man?
Kanye, I miss the old Kanye.
Me too.
Right? I miss the old Kanye back when flashing lights and college
that
dropout.
That album was so good.
Dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Back when we had, like, College Dropout and, like, Gold Digger, all those songs, that was the good Kanye. Since then, when Kanye hit Life of Pablo, it just kind of went over the edge. Like, that's kind of when he started to go crazy.
Yeah.
And do I really care about the fact that Kim is leaving him? No. Because, like, it has zero effect on me at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know it's like it's a mainstream hip hop thing. You got to talk about it. But, I mean, is anyone really shocked?
Yes.
Because they've been going. I mean, they've been, like, it's been floating around.
It's been as long.
It's been floating around that they're going to get divorced for how many years? Like,
yeah.
At this point, it's not even shocking to me anymore. Plus, the Kardashians, I mean, you know, something's bound to happen at some point. So
yeah, and I think they're ending off the Keeping Up with the Kardashians series like based off of this divorce. So one, it could be a media stunt just to get more people to watch that, because I know my parents used to, or my mom did at least. But I mean, once again, as you said, it doesn't really affect you. I could really care less. I don't like Kanye's newer music. So once again, it's like
poopity scoop. You maybe don't like that.
I mean, the rest of the song is good, but that like 30
second
stretch.
It's the same
stretch.
Thing and different. Poopity scoop. Whoop, whoop, poop. Like, come on, dude. You let your kids write that, and then you just sat there and read it off a sheet of paper.
It's crazy. One of the other celebrity topics that I wanted to skip over to. I know, what is your history with the WWE? I started watching like last month, like right after the Royal Rumble, so I don't really have a grasp of everything going on, but what about you?
I don't think I can ever say that I've watched WWE before.
Mm.
But I know about it because my dad, so back before the WWE was the WWE and it was the WWF.
Yeah.
My dad used to actually watch that with his grandma when he was a kid.
Wow.
So that was what they used to do. His grandma would chew tobacco and smoke cigars while they watched the WWF. Like, seriously, that's what they did every Friday night.
Jeez.
Like, Friday nights, Monday nights, back, like, on Raw and everything like that, that is what they would do. So, you know, he talks about it from time to time, Andre the Giant, all the classics and stuff like that. So I know a little bit about it, but to me, it's not my cup of tea. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, I mean, because, one, I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was younger.
Neither was I.
Yeah, and I know that, like, of course it is scripted and fake, but I think now what they're able to do is implement different storylines to make it interesting. Because mm-hmm. one of the things going on now, one of the people that became my favorite for my first day watching, Alexa Bliss, she was a big superstar, had a tag team partner, but then there was a guy named The Fiend, and think of him like the, I don't know, like a symbiote maybe, and he's just going crazy, and then she lit Randy Orton on fire, and there's a lot of things going on with Randy Orton, costing him matches. He couldn't be placed well in a thing. It's interesting, and one of the things that's been going on now is Bad Bunny has been a part of it. He performed at the Royal Rumble, and now he holds a championship, the 24/7 championship, and what that one is based off of research. It's like, as long as there's a ref present, it doesn't matter where you are. If you lose, you have to give over the championship, and there's this guy, R-Truth, that has been holding it. He's held it the longest ever, like multiple years, and now a situation where Bad Bunny got it, and he took it on a Saturday Night Live performance also. I think it's interesting that he's honestly been a part of it and is actually a part of the stories now.
I feel like the reason that Bad Bunny made that move towards the WWE is he blew up when he had that song with Drake, when he had Mia.
Yeah.
That great song, by the way. but I think for him, it's kind of the popularity thing.
Yeah.
And fiending for some more popularity and to get more mainstream. Because anyone that goes on the WWE that's not in the WWE circuit is going to blow up. Because 9 times out of 10, if a guest star makes an appearance, they win the championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's predictable the WWE is going to do that. They want to switch it up. They want to make it exciting. So I think it's kind of just clout chasing for him. But I think it's smart, though, too, because now Bad Bunny, you know, he's a primarily Latino-based music, right?
Yeah.
Most of his music is in Spanish. So I think him going into the WWE is really going to blow him up and expand him into even more cultures than he's already in. I mean, he's already in like a top 40 station culture, right? Mm-hmm. He gets played on the radio daily. I just think it's going to blow him up even more than he's already blown up.
Yeah, the WWE has honestly become a great marketing thing, and it even happened this past summer, whatever it was. I started watching Pat McAfee maybe March, and then seeing him actually be a part of the NXT and having some fights in there. It's been great to watch, but just to transition to our last topic for this first episode, Daft Punk is no more, and it probably means that they are retiring as a whole. It's interesting, but if you think about it, they haven't really been relevant for a while anyway, right?
Right. I think the last time that they were actually relevant was, the last song that I remember them being relevant on was probably that one that they did with Pharrell Williams. Mm. What was it called?
Get Lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm up all night to get... Yeah, that one. That was... the last song that I really remember them being relevant on, and I didn't realize that they'd actually been around for 30 plus years.
Yeah, I didn't. I'll be honest, I didn't know that they were more than one person, but I mean,
I knew they were more than one person, but I didn't know that they had been around for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And when a group is together for that long, 9 times out of 10, if it's said that they're splitting up, it's majority of the time it's, you know, hey, we've had our time, we've had our fun, mm-hmm. and it's just time that we, you know, we move on to our own thing and we go, and they kind of turn into like the family man type of thing.
Yeah.
And I get it. I mean, I don't know what it's like to be a music artist, but I can imagine all the time that you spend like away from your family on the road and in the studio, and it's got to be stressful, right? It's like any other job. There's going to be times where it's super fun and there's going to be times where it's stressful. And, you know, with some of the stuff that goes on concerts, I can imagine it being super stressful. So I think just kind of after all that time, the guys are, you know, well over 30 years old at this point, because, you know, you've been doing music for 30 years.
Yeah.
So you're well over 30 years old. You're probably close to your 50s at this point. I mean, you got to be close to just, you know, calling it quits. I don't think it's anything bad blood.
Yeah.
And I think the media is kind of swaying it to make it seem like it's bad blood.
They
got
to find something to talk about, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's, with everything going on, there's got to be something to talk about. And that's one thing that I don't like about the media, is how sometimes it does sway things to make it look a different way. But at the same time, I get it. I mean, you got to bring in your views. So clickbait.
Mm-hmm. And just to take a look at some of the songs that Daft Punk has made and been a part of: Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, and then that became Stronger for Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
Get Lucky, as you mentioned. And one of the ones that I guess people don't think about a lot, or I guess they probably forgot, didn't know, they were part of Starboy with The Weeknd.
They were?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do remember that now.
Because you can kind of hear like the Daft Punk type in his voice at sometimes too. Like, you can kind of tell that it's a collaboration between them.
Yeah. The thing I like about Daft Punk was they were like an outlier group in terms of that super techno music. Techno used to be big in, like the 90s and stuff?
Yeah.
The 90s and the late 80s, techno was huge. But techno was not relevant at all until Daft Punk kind of blew back up in the early 2000s again. And that's the one thing that I liked about them, and listening to some of the collabs they did with different artists like Pharrell Williams and the Weeknd and stuff like that, was they could bring a style of music back from the past.
Yeah.
And blow it up and make it relevant and keep it good. I mean, to me, that's probably about the best thing you can get in music.
Yeah. Shout out to them for doing that. And, you know, sort of to tie it off before we end it, there are a lot of things going online, like saying that they broke up or decided to split the day that Bobby Smurda was released. So Soul for Soul. And I think that works, you know, one influential group ending it compared to one influential person coming back. It all ties together in the end.
Yeah. And I think that with the way everything is going in terms of music, hip hop, country, you know, top 40 mainstream type stuff,
mm-hmm.
the way it's all going, we're going to see a lot of people come back that haven't been relevant for a while. Bobby Shmurda, you know, there's been a few others. The 2 Chainz has made a couple songs recently.
Ooh, yeah.
He's going to kind of move back in the scene. I feel like Ariana Grande is kind of re-blowing back up again,
mm-hmm.
after she fell off. Honestly, I feel like Taylor Swift's going to come out with another song about how her heart got broken by her fourth grade sweetheart. And, you know, she's going to blow back up again. But somehow, somewhere, everyone's going to blow back up in the end. And I think kind of that early 2000s, kind of that history repeats itself type thing. The kind of the 90s and the early 2000s, I think that wave is just kind of coming back.
That's one of the great things about not only the music industry and even the meme industry. They also are a big part of helping things come back. But with that will be the end of the first episode of the Tune Talk podcast. I think that was very great. I'm excited to keep things going on, talk about things in the past, different debates, who's better than who, all that type of stuff, and also news that happened going on in our current day now. So, for Colin Echols, this has been Christian Oates. Take care.